And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
DirecTV gives you access to apps like Netflix and live sports right next to each other.
I don't get it.
Let me put it in pigeon terms. It's like that one amazing dumpster with the old fruits and cardboard all in one place.
How am I supposed to keep up with illustrative metaphors when you are making me so hungry?
Get live TV and streaming apps together without a satellite. Visit DirecTV.com. Requires high-speed internet-connected Gemini device and separate paid subscription to watch Netflix on DirecTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
Good morning and welcome to the Daily Ding. Happy Wednesday, everybody. We have your one playoff game. Finally, the NBA just gave us one playoff game, Mo. I'm Dave DeFore. That's Mo DeKeel. And Mo, the game that they gave us, wow. Kevin Durant gave us an all-timer. I mean, I think we can say that safely. 114-108, the Brooklyn Nets storm back in this game. And frankly, Mo, we got to start with just the big picture here. The Nets are now up 3-2. They stole this one, Mo.
They stole this, and you couldn't have been more correct about KD doing an all-timer. 48 minutes, 49 points. 17 rebounds, 10 assists, only three turnovers, 16 to 23 from the field. Dave, like, he just went unconscious. And it was really in the second half because, you know, 6 to 10 in the first half and just exploded. And it was a phenomenal sight to watch. For everybody that's been hating on KD, doubting on KD, like, we need the gladiator meme right now of, are you not entertained? Like, that was amazing.
If I had told you that two former Oklahoma City Thunder combined for 76 points in this game, you probably would have guessed Kevin Durant was one of them. I mean, 49 points. The other one, Jeff Green, 27 points, 7 of 8 from 3. Fantastic defense on Giannis all night. And the combo of those two guys won this game. I mean, it's just what a crazy performance, not just from KD, but Jeff Green was fantastic.
It could have been so much worse at halftime. Like, the Nets were down 16 at halftime, and really it was only KD and Jeff Green making shots. And it was Jeff Green. Like, that was the big thing. I think he had like four threes in the first half on his own. And he kept them in it. Then everybody started to get going. You know, Landry Shamet hit a couple of big shots, had a big drive to the hoop, had a big drive and kick out to Jeff Green for a three. You know, they started to get a lot more comfortable. Everybody looked a little more fluid. It was just an impressive performance, but it was all on the backs of Kevin Durant. Like, we can't talk about that one enough, Dave.
Well, let's go back to that, because obviously big difference between games 3 and 4 and game 5. And I would even argue big difference in the way that this was officiated as well. 16 free throw attempts for Durant. It didn't feel like PJ Tucker was able to be as physical with Durant, and he was getting a lot more space. Just seemed like he was more comfortable because of the whistle.
Yeah, and I think that's just the way playoff basketball goes, right? Like, I'll just tell you from experience, after every playoff game, we're sending clips to the league, and so is the other team, and we're going, what the hell is this? Why is this a foul? Why wasn't this a foul? And so on. So you're doing all of that stuff. And, you know, Steve Nash with his comments after game 4 talking about, I don't even think these were actual basketball activity plays and things like that. So, you know, I think we're all expecting this type of whistle, and I won't be surprised to see it shift the other way for game 6.
Well, let's talk a little bit about how the Bucks built their early lead. I mean, James Harden played in this game. He hasn't played all series. I guess he played the first 43 seconds of game 1, then went out with the hamstring. Harden did not look good at all. He was mostly a decoy the entire night. End of the game, he started to do a little bit more stuff, but still, just not what you expect out of Harden. 1 of 10 from the field, 0 of 8 from 3. You know, he had 8 assists, he had 6 rebounds, but mostly, Mo, it seemed like his job was to stand around and just draw attention.
I mean, and this is the understandable thing of, he struggled. Like, I don't think anybody's upset. It should be upset with his game. He literally is coming out. He shouldn't have been playing, if you want my honest opinion. You know, even if he got going a little bit in the second half, I was watching the first half, said the dude can barely move. And even on the few times he went into the paint, it was slower than Joe Ingles. So, you know, when you look at it in that sense, it was just not a good Harden thing. Now, he made some great passes, was 8 assists tonight. Solid game from him on that perspective of creating and playmaking. But, you know, I did not feel comfortable watching him play, Dave.
Well, what worked so well for the Bucks? Because, you know, I don't know why they went away from this. It seemed like the offense had some movement. Giannis was catching the ball on the move. And then things changed. So what was working so well in that first half, Mo?
Well, I think you touched on it. There was ball movement. There was player movement. They were running actions. There were screen and rolls and little, you know, pin downs and things like that to free up guys and opportunities like that. Everybody was touching the ball. You had stuff where you had Connaughton making plays and driving to the hoop. Everybody got opportunities in the offense in the first half. And then when the second half came, it completely flipped. And it turned into a heavy isolation game from the Bucks, you know, and it wasn't just Giannis. I mean, there were times where I still don't understand it. I tweeted it out. Drew Holiday gets a pick and roll with Giannis to get Joe Harris switched on to Giannis, which happens, but he decides to take Kevin Durant one-on-one. It doesn't make any sense on that in that regard. It was those kinds of decisions. And if it was drive, okay, I don't have it, kick it out, and the next guy's going to go one-on-one. They made shots in some of those instances, but it was just bad, bad offense in the second half.
Well, in that second half, there was a stretch from about the middle of the third to the first couple, 3 minutes of the fourth. The Nets went on a 35-17 run. What was going on with the Bucks offense? I mean, you mentioned it, the lack of movement, settling for the isolation, but they also just weren't hitting shots. It just seemed like they just went totally cold, and the Nets defense almost appeared to get into their head a little bit.
Well, I think that's the product of the not moving the ball. You weren't getting the good looks and the clean looks you were getting in those opportunities. It was a vastly different game. If you just watched the first half and walked away and then watched the second half, you would have thought these were two completely different games. It was just a matter of, yeah, the shots aren't going to fall because they're not getting it in rhythm. You haven't touched the ball for 6 minutes and all of a sudden you're getting a kick out with 3 seconds left on the shot clock scenario. It's a tough position to put a role player in. You know, I just think overall it was shocking to kind of watch. You know, Charles Barkley called them stupid in the first at halftime, you know, talking about the Bucks offense. And it was true. They could have been up so much more in the first half, but, you know, they just really let themselves down in the second half.
So where the hell do the Bucks go from here? Their back's against the wall. They're going to have to go back for game 6 in Milwaukee. Down 3-2. They can't solve the Brooklyn Nets with only Kevin Durant and James Harden playing on one leg. I don't think Kyrie Irving's coming back. So what do you expect out of the Bucks in game 6 after dropping this? I mean, this is going to haunt them, I think, in the next game.
Well, I don't know if it's going to haunt them in the next game, but it's going to haunt them in the offseason if they lose the next game. I think you have to kind of look at it and have the conversation of, look at our offense in the first half. Look at our offense in the second half. Look at our defense in the first half and look at our offense in the second half. Like, guys, you know what we need to do. At this point, it's not a matter of plays and what do we run and how can we take advantage of this. You know what you need to do at this point. You know, you're in game 6 of this series. It's just a matter of, like, we need to go execute and we need to go get back to playing Buck-style basketball and not this isolation stuff.
Now, can Brooklyn pull this off again? You know, this is almost a miracle, okay? Kevin Durant, 49 points, 17 rebounds, 10 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks, an absolutely all-time playoff performance to win this game. Does he have another one in him, you think?
I think he might, but I don't know if you're going to get another 27 points from Jeff Green. Like, that's kind of the thing. The next leading scorer is Blake Griffin with 17, who also played pretty well. But I don't know if you're going to get that type of play from your role players. I believe in KD. Like, I have no questions yeah. about that. Like, I'm not one of those guys hating on KD. He can do that again. I think it'll be interesting to see if he goes 48 again next game or is projected to go 48 again next game, because it does wear down on your legs and get you a little bit tired in that sense. And I'm
looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Discover the latest collections from David Yurman, as seen recently, styled on basketball stars like Jaime Jaquez, Jalen Green, D'Angelo Russell, and others. David Yurman is a celebrated American jewelry company inspired by the beauty of art, architecture, and the natural world. The story of David Yurman begins in New York City with David, a sculptor, and his wife Sybil, a painter and ceramicist. When the artists began collaborating, their goal was to simply make beautiful designed objects to wear. Over 40 years later, the Yurmans and their son, Evan, continue to redefine American luxury jewelry with timeless, modern collections for women and men defined by inspiration, innovation, consummate craftsmanship, and Cable, the brand's artistic signature. David Yurman's collections are available on davidyurman.com.
You know, but it will be interesting. I mean, it's going to be exciting to watch. And if you're the Nets right now, you got to be feeling so good and smell blood in the water right now.
Hey, Mo, there were also some all-NBA team announcements today. There were three of those, three all-NBA teams, and the voting came out. All-NBA first team, Giannis, Jokic, Steph Curry, Luka Doncic, Kawhi Leonard, and that just seems pretty dead on to me, Mo.
Yeah, I don't see any issues with that. I mean, maybe the one thing, and I don't know who you would take off, maybe it's Kawhi, but you finagle the forward position and put Embiid in there. But that would be the only real big argument if you wanted to make one. But otherwise, they got it.
I think all the quibbles this year are going to be a little bit weird, right? Look, LeBron makes second team despite only playing 45 out of 72 games. And in a normal season, I think that is obviously not going to happen. I mean, Kawhi Leonard missed 20 games in this season. But
right,
this was a year where so many guys missed so many games. You kind of, I think you had to go with your gut. And if you felt like LeBron James was a second team guy despite missing almost half the season, I don't think that we can hold anybody's feet to the fire this year. You with me there, Mo?
Yeah, I mean, I'm never going to really be upset about these. Like, these are very subjective. It's not like MVP or something like that. There's a different mentality, thought process that goes into all NBA team versus your MVP awards. And that's a whole other podcast. But, you know, I thought overall, nothing really hurt me with the all NBA team. I was a little bit surprised Julius Randle got to the second team. I thought he was going to be on the third team, but that's about the only thing where I was like, huh.
Yeah, I think you look at the third team, you can see, I mean, Bradley Beal, Paul George, Jimmy Butler, all as guys that could have slid up to that second team. But again, man, look, this is a good problem to have. You've got so many guys who are being left off. I mean, Donovan Mitchell's not on this list. Devin Booker is not on this list. This is, I mean, the league
Jason
is
Tatum.
Just
like, there's stacked. We have a ton of talent, you know? And I just want to say this, everybody who's like, oh, we should do a fourth team. Okay, then we're going to complain about the guys who finished 21st, 22nd, and 23rd. It's kind of what we do. It's the same thing with the All-Star break.
Let's just rank them all 1 through 450 with a voting system from the media. That would be fantastic.
Let's have Seth do that.
That's right. Seth, just take care of those tears for us. That's going to do it for today's show, folks. Don't forget about all the pods we've got over at The Athletic. If you haven't already subscribed, go ahead and do that now. Go to theathletic.com/dailyding and sign up. Thank you guys for waking up with us. Mo, you know what to do.
Ding, ding.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic.
See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code The Athletic and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.